All right, everybody, joining me first up this week on the show is Tony Sakalis. You guys know this, the guy I go to when I want to talk all things Alabama. He is the managing editor for TideIllustrated.com, part of Rivals. And Tony, I appreciate you coming on the show.
We're into July now, so yeah, this is like the last free month without really any kind of football. And then it starts up with the preseason camp, and then before you know it, it'll be September 2nd in that opener.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for it. I know June is kind of like the month where it's the slowest, I feel like, because it's after the draft. And we have the spring meetings early in the month. After that, it slows down a little bit. Nothing slow in college football now. News is constant all the time. But it feels like June, if there is a slow month on the calendar, June might be it.
Yeah, that June up until, like we're saying, like the SEC media days. That's if you cover college athletics and you want to plan – a vacation or something like that, that's probably your sweet spot to try to hit, you know? I have a lot of friends that get married around that time too, just because it's one of the times where it's the slowest. So, yeah.
I think that is a philosophy for people who don't need cover sport, just college football fans in general. There's like, let's get married before the season. It's not happening during the season. So
it is hot though. So if you're doing it, I guess you plan an indoor wedding because it can get pretty steamy these last few days in Tuscaloosa. At least it's been really, really hot.
Yeah, I know. I'm down in Dothan, and we were in the upper 90s to 100 last week, but this week it's in the low 90s. So we have a cold front coming through.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, cold front in the low 90s.
Yeah. So, anyways, you know, I usually do this at the end of our conversations or anybody, but actually, I'm gonna start to tell people about the site over at TideIllustrated.com. What you guys got going on right now?
Like you said, you're full Alabama sports. We're part of the Rivals Network. You know, it's me. It's Brandon Howard, who covers recruiting. We've got football, basketball, recruiting. You know, those are what we mainly focus on. You know, we cover on some of the other sports as well. And we have a really good community in the, you know, Talk Champions, the Champions Lounge message board. And, you know, it's a fun place to be. It's kind of a lot of the conversations like we're going to have over the next, you know, few minutes. I think, you know, we have those all the time over there. And so it's definitely something you guys should check out.
Yeah, right. Go do it. Go do it. It's always get into those communities like that, you know, where you can be with, you know, if you're an Alabama fan, go check it out. Or maybe if you're not an Alabama fan, go see what Alabama fans are talking about. Go check it out too.
Talk some trash, I guess. Be prepared though, because you're joining a whole community of Alabama fans. So, but yeah. We'll take a question from anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk Alabama. And this is kind of kicking off here on the show, me previewing a bunch of these teams around the Southeast, not just SEC, but we're going to start off with Alabama. And honestly, Tony, I feel weird asking this question, but I ask this question about a lot of programs when I do these previews. And for Alabama fans, 2 years out of national title, that's like some teams going 50 years. It's like an eternity for Alabama fans. But what is the state of the Alabama football program?
Yeah, I mean, you're facing a decisive year where, if, you know, Nick Saban doesn't win this year, it'll be the longest they've gone without winning, which is just crazy, you know, when you think about it. When I first saw that stat, I was like doing the math backwards, and I was like, okay, one, two, no, one, you know, but it is crazy that this is the longest, you know, we're entering. If he doesn't win this year, it'll be, you know, the first time he's gone that long without winning. So, I guess there's a little bit of a concern heading over the Alabama program. I think when you look at it, it all boils down to the quarterback position and, you know, can you get that figured out? If that gets figured out, I think the concern levels are going to drop dramatically. But that's such a big question, and there really isn't a real answer to it that I think, you know, I think until you kind of have, as long as that's hanging in the air, there's going to be some concern over Alabama, and rightfully so, because if that doesn't get figured out, it could be an ugly season.
Let's jump into Tommy Reese, the new offensive coordinator. So last time I had you on, he had not been hired. Actually, I think a day or two after you were on the last time he got hired, which is usually the case on podcasts like these, something we talk about something, and then before you can get it out, the news breaks. But Tommy Reese became the offensive coordinator, you know, after right after time we talked. It was during basketball season when we were talking. Alabama hadn't even started spring or anything yet. Now, I do remember, and I'm going to throw this at you, you mentioned Greg Roman that you would have liked to have seen. back then. But anyways, what was your thoughts on Tommy Rees when he got hired?
Yeah, I think that, you know, initially there were some other names. So initially there was a little bit cause of concern of like, is this the best guy Alabama could have gotten? Kind of having some time to think about it, some time to chew it over and just really look at, you know, what Alabama has and kind of settle in. I don't think it's necessarily a bad hire. I think, you know, when you look at him, the two things that stand out for me are he's going to get the running game back. He's going to get out. I don't think it's going to be, you know, dramatic or just a total switch to the running, you know, three yards in a cloud of dust. But I do think that he's going to reestablish the running game, which will be big. And then I think when you look at the way he's dealt with, you know, either young or unestablished quarterbacks at Notre Dame, I think that's what he's going to have to do in year one at Alabama. And so what better guy to do it? He's a young coach. He was in a quarterback battle himself not too long ago. You know, I mean, he's not that removed from his playing days. So all those things together might really make sense for Alabama with this hire. And I think it has the potential to be a pretty good one. And so far, he's been really positively received. So it seems like a really good hire. We'll find a lot more about that in the fall. But I think what we've seen so far, the general consensus is that I think Alabama's pretty happy with its hire so far.
Yeah, you know, you think about that with him, and it's wild because he isn't that far removed from being a player himself. And look, you know, this is not me throwing shade at Bill O'Brien, but that's an advantage he has over him because now he can relate to these quarterbacks, I think, a lot better than a Bill O'Brien could. I mean, I think Steve Sarkisian was and Lane Kiffin were guys that could relate to him because they're older than Rees, but not maybe as old as Bill O'Brien. Not as, you know, they're just their personalities can relate to the college quarterback. But that's got to be a big thing too with Rees, how he can just relate, because he's, like you said, he's been in these battles, he's done this before, and he's not that far removed from it.
I think the biggest thing when you go and you get a guy like O'Brien or a guy like Brian Daboll is those are NFL guys that need an NFL quarterback behind center, and you had one with Bryce Young, and so it worked. I think you saw with Brian Daboll that year, you know, Jalen Hurts was the quarterback, and he really struggled to adapt Hurts's game to the offense, you know, and eventually they obviously Tua came in, and the rest is history in that championship game. But I think that a lot of times those NFL guys can be set in their ways or stubborn or not as innovative as some of the college centric coordinators. And that's one of the things where I think Rees is going to do well is he's dealt with different styles of quarterbacks at Notre Dame. He's a quarterback himself. And I think he's going to be able to work with, you know, whoever it is behind center. He'll be able to adapt his offense to whatever game he needs to. I don't think any of the quarterbacks are so drastically different from one another that you're going to have, you know, a totally different game plan if, you know, Jalen Milroe is the guy or if Ty Simpson's the guy. I know they have different skill sets, but not as maybe dramatic as it may seem. So I think overall he'll be able to keep his same scheme and the scheme that Alabama wants him to run and combine that and maybe just highlight whoever he has behind center a little bit better than maybe O'Brien did or Daboll did or any NFL guy would come in and do.
So we'll jump to the quarterbacks. You mentioned two of them, Simpson and Jalen Milroe, but Tyler Buchner also as well, the transfer coming in from Notre Dame. When you look at this quarterback room, and obviously, you know, after the spring, neither quarterback looked great. I think they both had highlights, but also there was obviously things you can improve on. And then not too long after that, Tyler Buchner is coming in to Alabama. How do you see these three quarterbacks? Is Buchner a guy that you can see being the starter, or is he a guy to come in maybe an insurance policy, a good backup to go with him? How do you see this competition?
It's really dead even. I mean, you could make a really good case for all three of these guys, you know, and look, like Jalen Milroe is going to probably enter the fall as the quarterback one, even if it's just barely ahead of the other two, just because of his experience. And that's the way he was in the spring. He was the first team quarterback. So like, you got to give him a slight edge. Also just what he can do as a runner. And if he has the abilities as a passer. So if he can get that together, I think he probably has the highest potential out of all of them. I think when you're looking at arm talent, Ty Simpson has the highest potential in terms of just, you know, spreading the ball, throwing a perfect pass, leading his receivers, those things that you really want you don't always see, I guess, in young quarterbacks. He's advanced in his years for that. but he hasn't done it on the field, and so we have to wait to see if he can do that. And then with Tyler Buckner, he's also a really good runner. I think, he's kind of maybe a combination of the two of them, and he's familiar with Reese's system. And you got to think, he wouldn't have came to Alabama if he didn't feel comfortable in that competition. I'm not saying he got promised anything, but he obviously was told something by the coaches that made him feel that way. Whether even if that's just that he'll have a chance to compete, he obviously is, coming in here to win that starting job as well, and he has a lot of ability. He's a guy that's dealt with injuries, and we really probably haven't seen his true potential on the field. But he has flaws as well. I mean, he turns the ball over too much, and I think that's going to be, if there's one thing that's going to, prevent somebody from winning this job, it's turnovers. So he'll have to work on that. So all three of those guys, I just think, you could really do it. If I'm giving, Milroe an edge, it's like 34 to 33 to 33. It's not a huge edge. And I wouldn't be surprised if any of those guys win. I don't, the narrative that I do see is sometimes is people say that it's going to be a lot. It's going to go deep into the season. I don't see it going past Texas. I think at the end of the Texas game, you will know Alabama's quarterback for the rest of the season. That's just Nick Saban's style. If Alabama is changing its quarterbacks throughout the season, they're losing multiple games or somebody got hurt. I don't think that, they'll be switching it. In fact, I'd be surprised if all three of them started a game this season. I think that would be, I could maybe see two of them starting, but I can't see all three of them starting.
Yeah, it just seemed like in the past, whenever there has been a competition that did go into the season in Alabama, it was usually game two where it was pretty much figured out. Because I remember when A.J. McCarron became the starter, it was like the Penn State game, the second game of the year he took over. Then Jalen Hurts, he took over like after the second game.
The
And
second
it kind
quarter. I mean,
yeah.
yeah, he came in and right away and never looked back. So, yeah.
So there's a pattern here if people want to pay attention to that part of it.
Even Cooper Bateman and Jake Coker, they made that, I guess, the mistake to move the Cooper Bateman. It didn't work out against Ole Miss. And then you saw Jake Coker come in and retake the reins. I mean, you could see a situation like that maybe happen with Texas, and maybe it takes a loss at Texas or against Texas. Maybe Jalen Milroe is like unconvincing and, against Middle Tennessee State. And then you put in Ty Simpson or Tyler Buckner against Texas, and he gets just overwhelmed, and then somebody else comes in for that game, and then all of a sudden, either you come back against Texas or your quarterback after that. I could see a similar situation. I'm not saying they're going to lose the Texas game. I'm just saying like that's what you're looking at. But you'll know at the end of that Texas game whether it's a win or a loss. I think where you stand at quarterback and who's the best option.
You mentioned running back earlier, and I even remember like leading up to A-Day, when Nick Saban after the scrimmages or the press conferences he would have on Mondays leading into that, he'll talk about running backs. He said running backs should not be an issue for us, and they're loaded with Jace McClellan and Rodale Williams coming back, and then you've got, man, Justice Haynes. When I was watching it, the A-Day game, when I saw him, I had not known going in he was a freshman. I said, where's this junior been all along for Alabama? I mean, but he already looks the part as a junior or a sophomore running back and not a freshman. But this running back crew, I mean, whoever quarterback is, they're going to have a really good luxury of having a super talented running back to hand the ball off to whoever it's going to be.
Yeah, Justice Haynes is Alabama's running back of the future. Now, I don't know if that future is later this fall or next season, but he will be Alabama's lead back at one point. Jason McClellan's a really good back too, and I think he almost gets overlooked because everyone likes the shiny new toy. But so, I actually expect it to be Jason McClellan, and then I expect Justice Haynes to kind of jump a few people and take that number two role. The person that maybe at risk of falling, and it's not really a knock towards his game, is Rodale Williams, because I also really like Jamarian Miller, or Jan. He's going by Jam Miller now. I think he's a rising guy that played really well, and so I think him and Rodale will kind of battle for that third spot, at least, in my depth chart, I guess. I have Justice Haynes being that number two guy, and then those two. I think those are the four you're going to use. I just it's so hard to go past four that that's just the way I see it.
Yeah, from the running back standpoint, last year with Jahmyr Gibbs, he was a big part of the passing game too. Of these running backs, who do you think? I mean, not replace that production because Jahmyr Gibbs is a great talent to do that, but just be kind of more of the threat in the passing game.
I mean, that's something that I think all of them do well, but no one's going to do it as well as Jahmyr Gibbs did. I mean, that guy was, he was, a different style of running back than Alabama is used to having, and they don't have a guy like that. So I mean, Justice Haynes had, I think, three catches for 40 yards and a touchdown or something like that in the 8A game. I'm not sure about the number of catches, but I know he had 40 plus and a touchdown in the 8A game. He's a guy that could serve that role, but we've seen Jace McClellan catch out of the backfield. Rodale Williams is capable. Jam Miller, we haven't really seen it, so maybe he's more of a power back, but I would imagine he probably would be in the mix as well. And Richard Young, look, we're not talking about Richard Young. That's why I said I cut it at four, but who knows? I mean, maybe he comes in this fall, and the like you said, the running back room is so loaded. I mean, they're all Rivals 100 guys in their respective classes, so. They've got a lot of guys that can do it. It's a matter of just spreading it out and really kind of maybe taking advantage of the hot hand. So, I mean, if somebody's going, I don't think you necessarily need to take him out to put in a quote unquote third down back. You can just keep things rolling. That might actually be better than having a guy that you would just say, oh, this is the guy designed for short passing, because I think all of them are going to be able to do it. So it will allow you to ride the hot hand.
Yeah, that's a it's a bad problem to have if you're Alabama. So it's obviously would have all the running backs. Look at the defense. I feel like coming out of last year, there were some criticisms on Alabama defense. I know Alabama fans were vocal online about Pete Golding, which of course he's only Kevin Steele is back. I mean, this team was ninth nationally in scoring defense last year, 12th in total defense. So it was not a bad defense, despite some Alabama fans maybe thinking otherwise. Not to up what they're used to seeing. With Kevin Steele coming in, is it kind of like, okay, this is a guy Nick Saban knows, he's familiar with. This is his third time with Nick Saban, and it's pretty much going to be business as usual on the defense side of the ball.
I think the hope, we talked about with Tommy Rees, the hope is to reestablish their identity in the running game. I think with Kevin Steele, the hope is to reestablish their identity as just a mean defense. He's going to need tough guys that can make tackles. And you look at the inside linebackers at Alabama, and no offense to Henry Tuitoa, who had a great Alabama career his 2 years. I don't think he's necessarily like the mean defender. And so, like, while I mean, a lot of teams would love a Henry Tuitoa, and I'm not even saying that Alabama is going to be like glad to see him go. I think they need, and that's just one guy. There's other guys on the team. There's this team. Throughout the team, there's a lot of players that needed to kind of have that tougher, rougher mentality. I think Kevin Steele's going to kind of implement that. So I mean, I know they're still going to have to be athletic, and you're going to have guys that can move and cover spread offenses. But I think at the same time, you're going to look and you're going to see, a tougher mentality, maybe more like that Reuben Foster. I think that's what you try to want to, establish, those guys that can move across the field, but they're still playing very aggressive, and they're going to hit you hard, and they're not going to miss tackles. They're, and Kevin Steele's defense, it's really important that the defensive that the linebackers are able to make the tackles, the inside linebackers. And so I think somebody like Deontay Lawson, if Kevin Steele can kind of, he's still young, if he can mold him into that role to be that kind of prototypical Alabama hard nose, not going to take any crap from anybody linebacker, that could be huge for this defense. I think you're going to need that kind of enforcer, and I think having Kevin Steele is going to allow, hopefully, since he's kind of an old school guy, and he's somebody that, knows Saban's mentality, and he knows how things work in Tuscaloosa. I think that's going to be big towards kind of that familiarity is going to allow him to kind of have a head start at building that culture that you're going to need. Because I think you're right. Like, Alabama had a good defense. They had really talented players on the defensive side of the ball, and it wasn't a bad defense. It was just, I think it's a culture change, and it's a mentality, and I think it's contagious. And if you start that with someone, then I think the other players will follow. And so all you need is for that to snowball. And I think Kevin Steele, that's one of the biggest things he's going to bring to this defense.
Looking at Alabama's defense, I think people, not even that don't just follow Alabama, maybe just, outside the state, even maybe outside the SEC, look and said, oh, wow. You talk about Henry Toto, but also Will Anderson not being there. I said, who's the guy? But I'm like, you're Dallas Turner. You have guy right there that's, that's going to be fair. Quarterbacks are going to be afraid of this guy. You got to find out where he's at. But what do you think are now with Will Anderson? Now Dallas Turner, he's going to be the guy there at that spot. What do you think for him, the
Well,
expectations are for him?
I mean, just look at all the five stars you have at just the edge rusher position, because you still got Dallas Turner, you still got Chris Braswell. Those are two five-star guys. You've got Jeremiah Alexander, who was the top edge rusher in last year's class, didn't really play much, but now he's going to have an extended role. You've got Keon Keeley, the top edge rusher in this year's class, and there's still guys like Quandarius Robinson, who's pretty solid, so. It's really, they're so deep at the edge rusher position. I'm not saying that they're going to be stronger or they're not even going to suffer from the loss of Will Anderson. Will Anderson might be, just pound for pound or, regardless of position, the best player in college football the last few years. Just what he could do and his just influence on the game was so great. And they don't have, I mean, nobody has that because there's only one Will Anderson. But I'm not worried from an Alabama perspective about pass rushing. I don't think that's going to be an issue. They'll have plenty of guys that can get after the pass rusher. I think if anything, if you're going to worry more, worry about guys like Byron Young, who provided more of the inside pass rush. That's where Alabama's going to need. You just lost Jameel Burrows to the transfer portal. That's a guy. So you're going to need your Jaheim Otis, your Tim Smith. If you're worried about pass rushing, those are the two areas you need those guys to provide that inside pressure because the outside pressure is going to be there for days. And I think the inside pressure is going to be there. It's going to be solid as well. But I mean, yeah, the front seven at Alabama, if there's one part of it that I feel confident about, it is on the edge and that ability to kind of like rush the passer with those long athletic guys that Alabama has.
Yeah, so quarterbacks beware this upcoming season. We're going up against Alabama. And Tony, this has been fun as always having you on to talk all things Alabama football. But if the listeners and viewers wanted to find out where they find you, and once again, tell us about TideIllustrated.com.
Yeah, like you said, the site's name is TideIllustrated.com, or you can go to alabama.rivals.com if that's easier to remember. You can follow us at Tide Illustrated on Twitter, or you can follow me at Tony_Sukalis on Twitter as well.
All right, sounds good, Tony. I appreciate the time, and I look forward to talking again sometime down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.